and former NFL quarterback Eric Kramer stopping by to say hi. Wearing Lion gear, my friend. How are you doing?
Of course. Well, I'm doing great.
That was my first question out of the gate. You play for a number of teams. Is this the team you identify with as people know more
of
you? How does that work?
Both the Lions and the Bears.
Browns and Bears, yeah.
I played 11 years, but 9 of them were between those two teams.
Okay, very good. Well, that sounds like a McDonald's Burger King kind of thing, a Coke Pepsi kind of thing.
Or like... Forrest Gump would say peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter.
Or peas and carrots.
Peas and carrots. Exactly. Well, thanks for stopping by and giving you some thoughts on the Super Bowl. But I want to talk to you about the Lions, and I want to talk about this resurgence of this team.
Here's the deal, right? For Tony and I, we've talked about this all year long. I have my favorite team, team that I've rooted for years. He has his favorite team that he's rooted for years. Our show. Ever since Dan Campbell was hired, adopted the Lions as our show team. So we've been the Lions have been our bread and butter. We can't get enough Lions.
Can't get enough.
So let me just say this. So prior to the NFC Championship game, right?
Yeah.
So a text goes around, and it's a picture. And it's basically a map of the United States. So it had the three cities that were also involved in the game. If you weren't in one of those cities... It was Lions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So there's a new America's team,
which is 100%.
Lives and breathes in Detroit right now.
If you were to percentage breakdown, how much of it is Dan Campbell? How much of it is, we'd like to give the people of Detroit a championship team, like the sympathy of the long-suffering fan that we've seen in other sports?
Very well said. I think that if you take two cities, one would be Cleveland, one would be Detroit. That's about as long-suffering as it gets. So let's say the Lions were actually here where they should be, and we're talking about their chances on Sunday.
Right.
And if they win that game, I guarantee you on Monday morning, following a Super Bowl win, there is no city of Detroit. It'd be up in the plane.
So maybe it's a good thing. Start success slowly.
Yeah, right.
Start building it up.
We need to put the infrastructure in place that we've got a lot of firefighters. Should the Lions win the Super Bowl? First.
So,
don't let them win it first and then figure out what to do.
So we're talking like 1957 or something like that. So it was like that when you played for them. They were long-suffering then.
Yeah.
Not to date you, Eric, or anything like that.
No.
It was still a while when you were playing.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And you're right. Back then it was a long time. But I think – so this past year, I go to the first playoff game, and Kevin Glover, who was a center on the team that I played on, so we're talking before the game, and he goes, it was cool for the first couple years where being the team with the Lions has won a playoff game. He goes, now it's been that plus 30.
Yeah, right.
And now he goes, I think it's time. And I go, I agree with you. Sure enough, that night, it was a great game between them and the Rams. And it was just a great story that, obviously Jared Goff having been cast off from the Rams, and they won the game and then played well doing it, as did the Rams, but then the next week they followed up with a great win against Tampa Bay. And it just, I think the ascension of the Lions is, you can't deny it.
Yeah.
Top to bottom, they're legit.
How did they do this? How did Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell put this together so quickly? Because I'm not an expert on rebuilding teams,
yeah.
But it seemed to happen way quicker than I've seen other teams do this process.
Sure. I think that it probably starts, not probably, definitely starts with Sheila Hamp Ford. Or Fort Ham.
Yeah.
In that she took over basically play calling duties, right, of the organization, made herself acceptable or accessible, hired Brad Holmes, hired Dan Campbell, and set the stage for what we see now is great draft picks, great free agency, judicious pickups, and a mold and a culture of playing and putting it all together that Dan Campbell and his staff are responsible for. And if you mix that all together in a gumbo, you come out with today's Detroit Lions.
So I want to, from a standpoint of when you were playing there and when you know the fan base, is the loss to the Niners, does it hurt, or is there promise like, okay, we've been down this road, but this feels different. This isn't like, we feel like we'll be back. Like there's a feeling like we've crossed the Rubicon and now we're going to be a playoff presence going forward.
Yeah, I think how I perceive this is it's the process that's gotten them there, and it's the process that will continue to get them there year after year. This is not a heartbreaking loss. This is a motivational loss.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Eric Kramer joining us, former NFL quarterback, spent years with the Lions and the Bears, also the author of The Ultimate Comeback. And if you wouldn't mind describing this book, the motivation for the book, and the story behind it that is compelling.
Well, I think that, I've gone through, in addition to making it as far as I did, not just pros, but college itself, and then make it into pros for a while, I thought there was a story there to tell regarding playing with depression. Not always, but sometimes. Mm-hmm. And along the way, there was another story we're telling in that, I'm not the only parent that's lost a son or child. And Griffin, my oldest, was sort of an outcast in his own life. You know, he did not have the processing tools mentally to kind of see. He couldn't fit in school. He couldn't maintain relationships. Then we're talking at a young age here, and which eventually led him to a drug addiction, which he was then successful for a time in being in rehab, and it was a relapse that did that. And he died in October 30th, 2011. And at the same time he passed away, my mom had already been battling uterine cancer. And so, she was good for a while, but then, it relapsed and she passed away about 8 months after Griffin did. And, then right around that time, my dad, who had some untreated acid reflux, it turns into esophageal cancer. Mm. So that was about a 3-year steady, plunge. And there wasn't a day where that ever got better. And so, that was kind of the impetus for writing it. But what I found out along the way was it expanded from there. And I found out, hey, I'm not the only guy wasn't raised by two perfect parents.
Yeah.
And so there was sort of, as the years went by, and I'm 59 now, and I look back and I said, you know what? I wouldn't want what they were raised in. And so, there's kind of, in addition, how I even got in the NFL.
Right, sure.
Was sort of, not everybody's story, but some people's story in life. And so I think there's a lot in there. This book is more than just, me trying to take my own life and dealing with depression, which, hey, that's something that a lot of people deal with. And I would say depression-wise, there's probably in America and probably around the world more that deal with it than don't. And you either deal with it yourself or you know someone who has and maybe currently does or is in the past. And so the feedback I've gotten from people that have known me my whole life to people who haven't known me 1 second, it seems to be a universal, there's more than one universal theme in there.
When you started noticing that your depression was kicking in, however that was for you, did you know that there was an avenue to get help? Did you say there's other people doing this, or was it kind of like something everyone was sort of hiding but nobody was really as open about?
Well,
the reason I ask is because I feel like people don't know where to go, and now it feels like we're talking about it a little more, saying it's okay to say there's something not right with what I'm feeling.
Right. Well, fortunately for me, long before there ever was a depression, I had been meeting with a gentleman named Kevin Wildenhouse in Detroit, and he got me to a point where, playing football-wise, I could slow the game down, meaning I, through guided imagery, breathing, things that are more commonplace today, that was new back then. And so I had him to go to, I had others to go to along the way because Kevin lives in the Detroit area. But I think that's where it starts. Long before there's ever something called depression in your life, it's okay to see a therapist.
Yeah.
And it's also okay to build a little home team around yourself, meaning start to observe people in your life who, in your observation, they look to be approachable, maybe non-judgmental. Maybe active in their approach to listening. Maybe they're curious about what you have to say.
Absolutely.
And those are the people you want to surround yourself with. It doesn't take many, 2 or 3. And then that's who you go to.
The book is called The Ultimate Comeback. It's by Eric Kramer, former NFL quarterback. I think you got a very important message to send out to people, and I really appreciate you stopping by, sharing that, and also sharing your love for the Lions. And, yeah, you're right. They should be here, Eric. They should have been here.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. And I hope when they are, you stop by again, my friend.
I would love to.
Thank you so much. Eric Kramer again joining us here on Sports Map Radio as we continue. Again, live from Radio Row.